You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. May is Foster Care Month, a chance for agencies to remind us of the ever-growing need for foster homes, especially with refugee children coming from around the world, bilingual foster homes. We turn now to Laura Mitchell, Executive Director of Foster Care at Samaritas, and Michelle Haskell with Refugee Foster Youth Services at Samaritas. It's great to have you both here. Laura, remind everyone again just exactly what is Samaritas and how are you involved in placing kids in foster homes?
So Samaritas is a statewide organization. We're a nonprofit organization. We are the largest in Michigan that provides foster care for children, both domestic children and refugee children. And we provide a whole range of services, not just to children and families, but to senior adults, adults with disabilities. We have a homeless shelter. We have a variety of services across the state, and we support over 20,000 people every year.
That's big. And so when we're talking about placing children in foster homes, we're talking about within Michigan?
Yes.
Okay. So how many children, roughly, do you have in foster homes right now in the state?
So Samaritas, we support over 900 children in foster care every day. And the state of Michigan, there are over 13,000 children in care.
All right. And Michelle, explain to us what Refugee Foster Youth Services does.
In our program, we find safe and loving homes to work with youth who've had to flee their home countries due to war, violence, or persecution. And so somewhere along the journey, they have lost contact with their families. Their families may remain in the home country. They may have just been disconnected along the way, and they may have been killed. Sometimes they don't know where their family is or what has happened to them.
And certainly so many of the headlines have focused on what's happening at our southern border and the family separations, but we're talking other countries as well.
Exactly. Yep. So we're talking countries overseas, a lot of African countries, and then also Central American youth who have come by themselves.
So how common is it for children to come into, you know, into the foster care system in our state who do not speak English at all or have it as a second language?
It's extremely common in our program. Most of the youth in our program speak little English. Some of them have pretty good English skills, but all of them have learned that as a different language. That is not their primary language.
So give us, take us to the ground level. What's an example? What's a youngster that really sticks in your heart or your mind who has come in with no English? From where and what was the whole process like?
We had a couple of young youth from Eritrea, which is a country in Africa, and that's one of our big regions right now. That's where we're seeing a lot of youth coming from. And so they met each other in a refugee camp and then had been resettled separately and were able to reconnect in our program. And so that was really heartwarming for them because their language is a pretty difficult one for us to find interpreters for. It's not one that's commonly spoken in the United States. So for them to have that connection, to have had those shared experiences, and then to have been brought back together in this program was just really heartwarming.
Okay, so they had each other and someone who spoke the language, which must make such a difference. What's it like, Laura, for you to try to seek out prospective foster parents who are bilingual, who might meet the profiles of these youngsters coming in?
So as we recruit foster families across the state, we certainly express our needs for different types of families. We do have lots of different needs just based on the needs of children, and certainly language is an important need. So we reach out and just make that need known, certainly through our refugee program. They also have bilingual staff who are able to further assist in the recruitment of homes.
But boy, when you're thinking of such a range of languages, you must have many occasions where you are placing a child into a home and they don't speak each other's language, right?
Yes, that's actually the most common. About 2/3 of our homes do not speak another language. And it's not a prerequisite for our program by any means. It certainly makes life a little easier for the youth and for the family. But our families get by just fine. You know, they figure
How?
It out.
What kind of support do you have and what's there to help? You did mention translators.
Yeah, yes. So we do have interpreters in our program who are able to help with those more intense needs for things like doctor's appointments. Appointments or legal visits or things that may need pretty thorough interpretation. But mostly our families are able to adapt using Google. It's a great resource just to be able to pull up your phone and translate something that way. And a lot of times they connect through movies. So they'll watch old Charlie Chaplin movies and just kind of connect over those shared experiences of just kind of figuring things out together.
We certainly know that children are very quick to pick up languages quicker than we are as adults. Things kind of set in stone as you get older. How quickly do you see the children start to pick up English?
The youth in our program pick it up very quickly, typically. And a lot of that is because of the immersion. You know, that's the easiest way to learn a new language. So when they're thrown into the school system where they may not have teachers or students that speak their language, or limited teachers or students that speak their language, they learn things a little quicker. When they have a family who doesn't speak that language, they do pick it up a little faster. But that kind of takes away from that safe space that they should have at home, where they can kind of just relax and not have to fight to have their needs known.
We're talking about the growing need for foster homes in Michigan as we talk with Laura Mitchell and Michelle Haskell of Samaritas. How typically long would children stay in foster care, or is there no real answer to that question?
So there's a wide variety of lengths of time. So in foster care, on the domestic side of our work, our first goal is to work with parents so that kids can then go home. I mean, home is where we are magnetically pulled, and we want to assure that every child has a safe place to sleep at night. Typically, children stay in foster care for about a year, sometimes longer, sometimes less time.
Depends on how things are going on the home front.
Yes, and a lot of our parents, unfortunately, are involved with substance abuse or with domestic violence, and those are major issues to overcome on the part of anyone. And foster care is not always that magic light bulb that goes off that, you know, things need to change. But that is our goal and our hope, that kids do go home.
And what about the refugee children?
In our program, our goal is successful independence. So our youth, we can't reunite with their families overseas in a war-torn country. Sometimes their families are not with us any longer, and so that's not a possibility. So our goal for these youth is that by the time they age out of foster care at 21 years old, they have the life skills that they need, they have a solid support system in place, and they have all the things that they need to be able to successfully care for themselves.
You're their launching pad.
Exactly.
You're the launching pad. What could we as a state and as individuals offer the children and foster parents in the way of more help? What's on the wish list from you, from Samaritas?
We do have a wish list. Of course, we all need support and understanding in our communities. And as far as our kids that are in foster care and foster families, we certainly need mentors for children. We do need families to come forward to be foster families. We always have a need for more foster families. And also to provide substitute care and babysitting for children who are in foster care. We also want to support our foster families, because raising any child is difficult on some days, but certainly raising a child who has trauma and has experienced abuse can be more challenging some days. So we do want to support our foster families and have the community, if they're interested, to reach out and think about how they could support a child.
And what I'm thinking about these youngsters coming in as refugees, what would make your day if you could hear from a family who spoke, fill in the blank, what languages are you most in need of?
Spanish is our biggest language right now. And so that's good, because that's a little bit more readily available. Mm-hmm. So it's a little easier to find those resources. But we really can never have enough Spanish interpreters and Spanish-speaking staff. We also have a lot of youth who speak Tigrinya, which is a little bit more challenging. And then our Rohingya youth also, we need interpreters for them. That's a very difficult language for us to find right now.
Is there any language training available that you offer to foster parents?
We don't currently have language training available, but we do have a foster parent trainer on staff who is able to support our families by learning about the countries that the youth are coming from. It can be a little daunting to welcome a youth into your home from a country that you may have never heard of. So our foster parent trainer can come over and give some more specific details about what's going on in that country, customs that may be in that country.
Foods.
Exactly. And what's bringing that youth to their home, to the United States.
Well, I think it's worth letting everyone know that Samaritas is blitzing around the state during this foster care month, recruiting foster parents and talking it up and holding orientations. How would you characterize the need for foster homes on, you know, a scale of 1 to 10? 1 is we're great, 10 is we're desperate.
We're definitely at a 10.
Okay.
all organizations, I think, would provide that answer. there's just a great need.
What do you see as the most rewarding thing for people who say, all right, I'm going to try this, I'm going to do this, I'm not sure if I'll be good at it, but, you know, they open their homes. How have you seen that work out for the families?
We've just seen the celebration of little successes, you know, when our youth are able to do well in school in one class that they were struggling in, or they learned a new colloquial phrase. When they graduate high school, that's a huge accomplishment for anyone, but when English is your second language or your third or fourth language, and you started high school in the United States at 16 years old, you know, that's a huge accomplishment. And just having these young people become a part of our foster families, it's just really great to see them all come together and form those lifelong bonds.
Well, you can get all kinds of information on the website. Just go to samaritas.org, SAMARITAS.org. And we have been talking with Laura Mitchell and Michelle Haskell of Samaritas. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.